Whether it's a big city or a small town or a farm out in the countryside, most of us are proud of where we live. Sure, you can probably point to things you wish were better about your city. I live in Toronto, for instance, and I would like to own a house in my lifetime. But it's still human nature to rep your village. And here's where the fun starts. It's time for Money Sense's annual attempt to rank and define things that we all feel very subjectively about. Every summer, these editors undertake an exhaustive project designed to crunch basically every measurable metric and determine where exactly is the best place to live in Canada. Is it your neighborhood? Probably not, but your neighborhood is also probably better than a whole bunch of other people's. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story.
This is actually my first year doing the rankings, so I don't know what kind of feedback I'm going to get yet. I guess I'll find out.
Claire Brunel heads up reports and rankings for Maclean's and Money Sense, and she led this year's Best Places to Live project. Claire, one quick preamble before we crown the winner. How the heck can you actually measure which place is the best place to live? What kind of metrics go into this?
Well, Jordan, it's not easy. Basically, we think there are a lot of things that make a city a great place to live that you can't measure. So, you know, things like the beauty of the sunset or the waves, you know, crashing against the shore. Those sort of things are not in the ranking, but there are all kinds of things that you can measure, things like the unemployment rate, things like incomes, even things like healthcare wait times we put into the ranking. So basically what we do is we take all of those data sources. I assign a weighting to all of them, so decide how important they are. I rank them for all 415 cities. And then, you know, in the end, that pops out with a ranking of the best places to live in Canada from number 1 to 415. So that's essentially how it works.
Okay. Who wins?
Well, this year, the winner is Oakville, Ontario, which I am aware that Oakville has a certain reputation as
Oakville?
Being... Yes, that's right. So it's a suburb of Toronto. If you're not aware of it, it does have a certain reputation for being a place to live for rich people. So there was a mansion on the lakefront that went on sale for $65 million a couple of years ago. It has, you know, the famous boarding school, Appleby College. It has a famous golf course.
All sound like very... very rich people things.
They are very rich people things, and it's true there are lots of rich people who live in Oakville, but as I was learning more about Oakville for this ranking, I learned, because I actually grew up in Oakville. So when I was growing up in Oakville in the 90s, Oakville was it wasn't a very diverse place to live, and that has really changed over time. So over the past 10 years, the percentage of visible minorities living in Oakville has gone from 18 to 30%. And there's actually 30% of the population speaks a language other than English or French. Oakville actually also won our sub-ranking for the best places for new Canadians.
Okay, well, so what do you remember most about growing up in Oakville?
I didn't have a super fun time growing up in Oakville. Back in the 90s when I was growing up, Oakville was not a very nice place to grow up if you are different in any way. I'm queer. It was, you know, people got at my high school got made fun of for going to the, you know, the lowest income high school in the city, which was a pretty high income considered to lots of other places in the country. So for these reasons, you know, Oakville won. And I sort of went, I really don't want Oakville to win. But then I started learning more about it. And it sounds like Oakville has really changed a lot since I lived there.
So this is how we know that the study is not rigged, because otherwise Oakville would not have won.
Yes, that is exactly right. So anybody who wants to accuse me of bias for naming my hometown the number one place, I think would be incorrect.
Did you run the rankings over again just to make sure?
I admit that I did, yes. I tweaked a couple things. I tried to make sure that I was right. I couldn't knock Oakville off its perch. It's just the best place to live by this set of rankings in a broad range of the categories it won.
So I remember the last couple of years when these rankings came out and Ottawa was the best place to live in Canada. It seems like that's a bigger town, obviously a town with a lot more culture, history, the capital of Canada, all sorts of things. What happens in the rankings for a smaller suburb like Oakville to displace, you know, one of Canada's major cities?
Well, it was really close. Oakville won by less than 1 point over Ottawa. So they're pretty comparable places if you're trying to decide, should I live in Oakville, should I live in Ottawa? According to our ranking, they're pretty close. So Oakville did better in the crime category than Ottawa. It also did better in population growth. But Ottawa did better in commute, which makes a lot of sense if you've spent any time in either the GTA or Ottawa, that the commute time would be better in Ottawa. But the commute category is worth fewer points than the crime and population growth categories.
So. How do you decide what category is worth more points?
It is definitely subjective. We try to think about what would the average person care most about. So the two most highly weighted categories are the wealth and economy category and affordability. So those kind of balance each other out a little bit. You want a place where you can both make a nice income, get a good job, but you can also actually afford to live there, afford rent or afford a house.
Hence no Toronto and Vancouver.
That's right. Yeah, that's why those are a little further down the list. Yeah, and that's why Ottawa tends to do so well in the rankings, because it has that balance between, you know, it has a stable economy, lots of federal government jobs, but also a housing market that hasn't skyrocketed out of control the way that Toronto and Vancouver has.
Okay, so Oakville's top, Ottawa second. Where do our big Canadian cities rank on the list?
Yeah, so urban areas do well in the ranking. I think largely just because a lot of the things that you want close by when you're looking for a great place to live, you want a university close by, you want hospitals close by. You know, those are things that you can only get in a larger urban area. So the cities overall tend to do well, but interestingly, the sort of bedroom communities surrounding the city tend to do even better. So places like Oakville, places like in Montreal, for example, the city of Montreal itself is number 241.
Before 241.
Yeah, Montreal doesn't do so great. Yeah, largely because, you know, unemployment, incomes, crime rate. But then the cities around it, we've got four of Montreal's suburbs in the top 15 overall. So I think that's a really good example of what you start to see there when you divide it up as, you know, not just the city itself, but the surrounding communities.
You guys put together a whole package at Money Sense and McLean's around this research. Does anybody else know this yet? Do the mayors of the prospective cities?
Yes, the mayor of Oakville knows. He was very happy.
Did you tell him?
Yes, I was the one to email him. He was very happy to hear that, very excited. Yeah, the other cities, it will be a surprise to them to be learning about it when the ranking comes out. I did do things like talk to a retiree in Ottawa about how Ottawa is the best place to retire. But for everyone else, it'll be a surprise.
Right. So you break these down in other ways rather than just the best place to live. What are those categories like, and how do you kind of create them or figure out what you're going to be looking for?
So basically the idea is we realize that because it's subjective with the weightings we have, not everyone's going to agree with the way we weighted it. For some people, you know, wealth and economy and affordability won't be their most important two categories. They might care more about weather. And they might care more about crime rates. So to sort of keep that in mind, we do these sub-rankings that try to think of what would somebody who belongs to these specific groups be looking for in a place to live. So we do the best places to live for families, for example.
Which is?
Oh, the best place for families. It is St. Bruno de Montarville, Quebec. So it is just a little bit east of Montreal. It's got a national park in its backyard. And all the 6 out of 10 of the best places to live for families are in Quebec just because of the low childcare costs.
Right. So it is hot as crap here in Toronto right now. There are heat waves all over Canada. Where is the best weather in Canada?
The best weather in Canada, according to our calculations, is in Thorold, Ontario, which is sort of in the southwestern part of Ontario. We came to that determination based on, basically we look at, is it warm and does it snow and rain? So, you know, the more days with the minimum temperature above zero, the more days with a high temperature above 20, the better. The less it snows, the better. But we like to keep the rain within a certain range, you know, because you don't want it to be just a dry desert. So by those factors, that's the town that comes out on top, Thorold, Ontario. I used to live in Windsor, so yeah, the weather in southwestern Ontario is pretty nice. It makes sense.
So the biggest question I think anybody has when determining where to live is if they can afford it. How much do housing prices affect cities further down the list? Like, we never got to Vancouver, but Vancouver's typically ranked one of the best places to live in the world in a lot of studies. Where does it end up once you factor in things specific to Canada?
Right. So Vancouver is the 88th best place to live, according to our ranking, out of 415. And that is largely because of the affordability issues, the housing prices. So in this ranking, the higher the housing price, the worse you do. And we do it on a few different measures. So not just the housing price itself, but how it compares to the average income. So basically how many years of your salary you'd have to pay to buy a house in that city. We also look at rent affordability. So, yeah, a city like Vancouver, where it costs a lot of the average person's annual salary to live there, are going to do not so well in that category, which is a significant category. It's 20%.
And what about Toronto then?
So Toronto actually did surprisingly well. It's the highest ranked big city at number 16. So that's pretty good out of 415. And it just basically all the other things balanced it out. So the strong economy that we've got going on in Toronto, you know, essentially made up for the high housing prices.
What kind of feedback do you get and how do you change this ranking year to year?
Well, this is actually my first year doing the ranking, so I don't know what kind of feedback I'm going to get yet. I guess I'll find out. I'm expecting, you know, lots of people to have lots of feedback of various kinds about it. When I did make a few tweaks to the ranking this year, I just tried to think, you know, does this make logical sense or not, essentially, was what I was trying to keep in mind when I was doing it. So things like population growth, the old ranking used to give cities the highest points if population growth was within a certain range, was, you know, maybe I think 1 or 2% higher than the Canadian national average. But I looked at it and I realized that that was knocking off a lot of cities, sort of bedroom community type cities that were growing really quickly in population just because they were building a lot of housing. And right. I thought, well, I don't want to penalize cities like that. Cities like Milton, cities like I think there were some of the suburbs of Calgary that fell into that category. You know, I think housing's so unaffordable that I didn't want to say, you know, I want to encourage cities to be doing that. And I think if people are moving there, they're doing it for a reason. So I decided to give cities, you know, I decided that growth is good this year. The more, the better.
Where's the worst place to live in Canada?
I feel bad picking on the worst place to live in Canada because the worst place to live in Canada has been the worst place for a couple of years now. So in Atlantic Canada in general kind of struggles in this ranking, not because, you know, Atlantic Canada is beautiful.
Because they don't give points for picturesque sunsets.
Yeah, exactly. This is the problem. We need to figure out some sort of scientific method for, you know, the picturesque sunsets and the waves crashing against the shore. But yeah, so it's a place called Colchester County. It's in north central Nova Scotia. It's a nice seaside town from everything that I can determine from reading about it online. But it's got a high unemployment rate and its population is shrinking. It lost 1% of its population from 2017 to 2018, probably because people are leaving for better economic opportunities elsewhere. So yeah, Atlantic Canada just, you know, has an aging population. It has these, you know, long-term entrenched sort of economic issues that makes it hard for these towns and cities to do well in the ranking.
After you crunched all of these numbers and looked at communities from best to worst, where did you, especially because you already grew up in Oakville, so you already lived there, where did you come away thinking, you know what, that seems like a place I could settle down?
Yeah, so there are two that are quite near the top of the ranking. One is Russell, Ontario, which is a small town just outside of Ottawa. It is the winner of our best places to live with housing prices under $500,000 ranking.
Oh, sweet.
So, yeah, that seems like a great option where you're within an hour's drive to all the amenities that Ottawa has to offer. You could commute there if you wanted to take advantage of the jobs there, but it's still, you know, a really affordable, nice place. And also St. Bruno de Montarville, Quebec, which I mentioned before, also sounds like a just really lovely place that I had never heard of before I did this ranking. Yeah, I think both of those are sort of off the radar options that people might want to think about.
All right. Thanks, Claire. I hope you're ready for everything that's going to happen today once people get a hold of these rankings.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Bring it on.
Hello.
Hey, is that Mark Brown?
Yeah, speaking. How are you?
Mark, it's Jordan Heath Rawlings from The Big Story. How's it going?
Not bad.
So you edited this for Money Sense for how many years?
For about 5 years.
What happens the day these numbers get released?
The day these numbers get released, you know, the entire country steps up and pays attention. This is one of those reports that everyone wants to talk about. You know, we get flooded with calls, newspapers, radio stations, television stations. It's all front and center for everyone as soon as it's released.
What's the best reaction you ever got?
A few years ago, we named, I think it was New Glasgow, the bottom of a ranking for a couple of years straight, and the community, particularly the mayor, was upset by this and launched a letter writing campaign. And within a couple of weeks, I had a stack of about 5 or 10 inches of postcards that were printed by the city council and handed out to residents to express their discontent with our ranking and talk about what makes New Glasgow such a great community. That was probably the biggest, most coordinated campaign against this. But the funniest thing about that was there was a lot of people who took that opportunity to write and say, yeah, our numbers were actually right. And in the end, it seemed to be more people siding with our numbers than with the mayor's own perception.
Do you have any advice for Claire, who's doing it now? Because she's obviously waking up today and she's going to be inundated with responses.
Look for the good. I mean, a lot of people do fixate on the negative, but there are positive stories in every community. And there is no real bad place in Canada. There's no bad place to live in Canada. It's a report on the best places to live. It's not meant to be a slag against any particular community. It's meant to talk about what's working, what's not, what can be done better, and focus on those areas to improve. We have communities that are first criticized us, then once they calmed down and looked at the numbers, realized it was telling them something important about their community, and they did something to try and rectify that. So, I mean, it's about making communities better. That's what the report's all about.
That was The Big Story. For more, visit us at thebigstorypodcast.ca. And please, we want to hear from you, so hit that Contact Us button. And let us know, is there a big story that we should be covering? The whole point of this podcast, the reason why we don't just talk about Donald Trump every day, is we want to give you the goods on the topics that are popping up in your discussions and find the smart people who can give you the info that you need. You can hit us up at that website, thebigstorypodcast.ca, or at Big Story Podcast on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. And of course, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, review, tell your friends. I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings, and we'll talk tomorrow.